Episode 202.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we talk about some work at home challenges that I bet we're all experiencing. And we talk about recent dramatic changes to Amazon affiliate marketing commission structures and what that means for you and your business. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
Hey, 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 how is everyone doing? I am Mark Mason, and this is the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, coming to you from the locked down studio in Dallas, Texas. We're still locked down. 6 weeks later, it's, you know, almost the end of April here. And wow, I mean, this is just crazy town. Everything is sort of normal at my house in the sense that we got plenty of food and toilet paper, and I'm still working my day job and working on my internet business, and everyone's healthy, and that's all great. But everything is totally upside down from a normal life sort of point of view. And one of the things I wanted to talk about today is I totally underestimated the real impact of completely turning my entire work life upside down. I had so many amazing plans for this 4 to 6 or 8 week stay at home period, because I was imagining, and we talked about it here on the podcast, how incredibly lucky I was going to be able to take the amount of time that I was commuting into Dallas, into downtown Dallas from my house out in the suburbs, and turn that into incredibly efficient internet side hustle business time. And I immediately, almost comically, made this amazing list of all the things I was going to get done during this time. And, you know, just how I was going to exit this period with all these amazing things accomplished. In fact, I even did my traditional 12-week plan approach, and I formulated a 12-week plan for this sort of COVID stay-at-home time so that I could make sure I was holding myself accountable, getting things on track, and making progress. And it's been way different than I expected, and I wonder if it's been that way for you. And I thought I might talk through some of my lessons learned during this process. So the first thing is, I think the psychological impact of this whole COVID-19 situation has been bigger than what I imagined I would personally experience. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. My glass is always half full, even when it's laying on the floor and cracked and broken. I carry my own weather. I decide how I'm going to feel every day. So I imagined that my own psychological state would not be impacted at all by the COVID-19 crisis. And in fact, I made a conscious effort to watch as little news as was responsible. I watched enough news so that I could know what was going on, understand how I was being impacted. But I was very intentional about not watching all the horrific things that were going on in Italy when that was going down. I was intentional about not getting involved with all of the debate around whether or not Trump and Fauci and all these guys were doing a good job handling this problem. I was very much controlling the things that I could control and not worrying about the things that I couldn't control and not spending time letting negative junk into my head. You know, it's an old Zig Ziglar thing. It's a stinking thinking sort of mentality and just keeping all of that negative stuff sort of at bay. And I think that helped quite a lot, but I definitely have felt just with all this change and all the kind of malaise that the world is going in, even me, Mr. Positive Guy, felt an impact on just sort of how much drive I had to get things done. It's been really weird. And how much I've gravitated towards wanting to be a couch potato or wanting to sleep in or not really wanting to follow through with all of my exercise routines and all of that kind of stuff. And it's not a dramatic thing, and it's not like a clinical depression thing or something where I'm really worried about it. I've just noticed that my normal amount of sort of overwhelming self-motivated energy has been decreased during this time. And when I unpack that, I think it's just a byproduct of the general situation that we find ourselves in, and the breaking of routine and a lot of other things that have had much more of a psychological impact than I expected. And so I wonder if that's the same for you. And if you haven't been feeling yourself or getting the things accomplished that you wanted to get accomplished, or you find yourself lacking somehow in some motivation or maybe even feeling slightly depressed, I think it makes sense to go ahead and own that and understand that that is a thing. It's something that is happening to a lot of people, I think particularly entrepreneurs, and it's something that in order to deal with, you've got to first name and recognize and say, okay, hey, we're in a different psychological environment than we're normally in, and that can have many effects, and some of those effects might not be great. And so there's lots of things you can do to combat these sorts of problems: getting exercise, getting outside, changing your routine, looking for professional counseling when that's appropriate, if that's appropriate for you and your situation. But I think it's a real thing. So for me particularly, I think, you know, April did not result in the kind of productivity that I wanted to see. And, you know, part of it was because of the psychological stuff. Part of it was because some of the e-commerce goals that I set for myself turned out to be much more difficult than I expected because of the supply chain challenges of getting products first manufactured in China and now to getting them from China to the United States, and then finally getting them distributed in the United States once they were here, because many of the warehouses completely shut down, many dropshipping warehouses completely closed. And that kind of frustration when you're trying to make progress, that can make it tough to maintain the right kind of winning attitude that I've always said is so critical for internet business. So my call to action for you around this topic is to unpack your stuff and understand if I'm speaking to you and you feel, hey, yeah, I have kind of been in a funk lately, go ahead and understand that, unpack it, understand why it is, and try and take some action to mitigate that and get yourself on a little better footing. And here's my challenge to you. Let's make May amazing. You see how I did that? That's a whole May and amazing thing all go together like that. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But April's done, but May is just started, depending on when you're listening to this. And I challenge you to hit reset. If you're a person who's been in a funk, maybe change some of your behaviors, get outside, get some sunshine, change out of those pajamas, shave more than once a week, whatever that means for you. Go ahead and bathe every day, you know, that sort of stuff. Go ahead and let's make May different. We've had 6 weeks now to adjust to this COVID situation. let's make the next 4 weeks in May and possibly going into June, let's make them truly amazing. How do we do that? We do it the same way that we always do. Let's imagine what we want to be able to say at the end of May. What would make you feel great? What accomplishment would you like to be able to claim at the end of May? And it's really important that it be a smart accomplishment, that it be specific and measurable and attainable. And I think particularly that attainability is really critical. Don't try to make up for half of March and all of April in the last 3 weeks of May. But let's talk about on June 1st, what's something reasonable that we'd like to be able to say? And then let's make sure we do that. And I want to challenge you to do that, to identify a goal for your amazing May and make sure that that goal gets accomplished in May so that you can start June by celebrating your big win in May.
This week, in the world of internet marketing news.
All right, so I wanted to break down this big Amazon affiliate commission rate cut news that came out last month. And I've been kind of sitting on this topic. Of course, this is near and dear to my heart as an Amazon affiliate and a guy who thinks, and I still believe, that affiliate marketing is the best first internet business for someone who's wanting to start a business online. This cut of Amazon affiliate commissions is a blow to Amazon affiliates everywhere. And, you know, if you hadn't heard the news on April 21st, I mean, they announced this back in March or maybe even late February, but starting on April 21st, Amazon affiliates, and that includes publishers and influencers and all of these people, Tom's Hardware and, you know, everybody you can imagine, they're going to see lower commissions from their affiliate sales. And that extends over a bunch of different product categories. And, you know, typically what's happened with Amazon is they've had these commission rates that were category specific and they weren't great to begin with. Amazon commissions have never been amazing, but Amazon's conversion rates are really high. People, when they go to Amazon, they buy stuff. And not only that, Amazon has this relatively generous cookie policy in the product direction that says if you send traffic to Amazon, you get a commission on what they buy, no matter what it is, for 24 hours. So you might send them there because you recommended a microphone. If they buy a refrigerator while they're there, you get commission on the refrigerator, even though you sent them there for the microphone. And that means that if you're sending a lot of traffic to Amazon, you get a lot of accidental commissions. I've sold the most bizarre items that you can possibly imagine on Amazon, including some adult items and just all kinds of crazy stuff that I obviously don't advertise. And so that's a really great thing about Amazon. So it's generous, I say, in the product direction. Amazon has historically been pretty stingy in the time direction because their cookies only last for 24 hours. And if you don't know what I mean by cookies and you're not familiar with affiliate marketing, if you use a special link to send your website visitors to Amazon, that website visitor gets a little tiny file put on their computer that tells Amazon who sent them to Amazon. So when and if they buy something, Amazon goes and picks that file up so they know who to credit with the affiliate commission. So the problem is that Amazon commissions were already pretty low, and on April 21st, they cut them dramatically. They cut rates on furniture and home improvement from 8% all the way down to 3%, and grocery products, which I've never actually advertised, from 5% down to 1%. And this is a problem. And so there are lots of other cuts to other categories. And the bottom line is a lot of people who were relying on Amazon commissions effective on April 21st saw a dramatic cut. If you were making $100 a month from Amazon in March, chances are by May, you're going to be making something more like 60 in some cases, or maybe even less, depending on how heavily you are in some of these categories. Health and personal care is going down from 5% to 1%. So this is kind of, this is a pretty dramatic cut. And I think it, you know, a lot of people talk about what kind of company is Amazon, and who, you know, you hear about these labor issues at Amazon, and I love Amazon. I spend a ton of money there and I love using them. And I think they're offering an amazing service, but as a company and a brand reputation, they've got some issues, and now they've just demonstrated that by announcing an almost punitive commission change in the height of one of the biggest worldwide financial crises that has ever been, ever, right? So here are all of these solo entrepreneurs out there who are relying on Amazon commissions, and right at a time when their other income streams like public speaking and other kinds of maybe course sales and other kinds of online business are under attack, Amazon comes in with a completely tone-deaf announcement regarding this kind of change. And I mean, I think it's really unfortunate for the brand image, because it's just another piece of evidence that Amazon really doesn't care about anybody but Amazon. And you know, it's capitalism, and if I don't like it, I should shop somewhere else, right? Or I should take my affiliate marketing traffic somewhere else, and we should all punish Amazon, and that's the way business works, and I think that's fine. But it still would have been nice for Amazon to come out and say, hey, look, we had planned this cut. You guys need to get ready for it, but because of the current world situation, we're not going to implement this until summertime is over, or something, or the crisis has passed, something like that. I think that would have been a really nice thing to do in the current climate. And, you know, they were tone deaf and they didn't do that. And I think that really stinks from an Amazon corporate image perspective. But what does it mean for us affiliate marketers? So I think there are two kinds of us out there. There are those of us that are considering starting affiliate sites and getting into affiliate marketing. And there are those of us that have affiliate sites. We have significant traffic and we have Amazon commissions that are going to decrease. And so, you know, in that second case, I think the thing to do is to understand where your commissions are actually coming from. And this is harder than it sounds a lot of times because of this ancillary extra commission business. But in general, you can use page traffics and clicks into Amazon as a proxy, assuming that you don't have really good Google Analytics set up, which most affiliate marketers that I know are terrible at analytics. Assuming that you don't know where your traffic is coming from, you can take a look at what pages your clicks are coming from primarily. And secondly, you can take a look at what pages are getting the most traffic on your website, and you can make a decision on a case-by-case basis. So if you are in the market where you're trying to sell, say, cameras and other kinds of electronics, and you've found now that your products are not going to get the same commission as they got before, or you've got some other kind of thing that was hard hit, like furniture and home improvement, and you're trying to understand how that's going to affect you, your choice is, you've always got the choice of looking for a second affiliate program to run either alongside of Amazon as a test or to run instead of Amazon. I think that's the first thing you need to do. You need to triage the problem. If you've got 7,000 affiliate links out there going into Amazon, the 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle, tells you that 80% of your Amazon revenue is coming from 20% of your links. And I bet it's even more like 10%. Probably most of your Amazon revenue is coming from a handful of your total links in Amazon. And so the question is, for those top generating revenue links, however you're able to identify them, is there a better choice? If it's electronics and you're selling a camera, does it now make more sense to go to B&H instead of Amazon? I think that's a real question. And so what do you need to consider when you're considering whether or not to switch Amazon? Well, there's the cookie length. We talked about that a little bit already. Amazon's cookies are only 24 hours. Well, a lot of cookies from other companies are 30 days. And so someone might come to a website, not buy, go back, come back over a period of 2 weeks trying to make up their mind on which camera to buy. If you sent the traffic there and the to that website to buy that camera and the cookie is 30 days, you have a much better chance of actually capturing that sale than if it was a 24-hour cookie like there is on Amazon. On the other hand, even if the site that you're sending, contemplating sending traffic to has a longer cookie, it may be true that there, it will certainly be true that the amount of products that they offer won't be nearly as wide as the amount of products that Amazon offers. You may send someone to B&H camera, to B&H to buy a camera that you might have normally sent to Amazon, and instead of buying the camera at B&H, they might buy a microphone and you'll still get that commission, but they're not going to buy a tent, a camping tent, or a spare tire from B&H because B&H doesn't offer that product, but they darn sure might buy that kind of weird stuff, that off-topic stuff from Amazon, and you might get those commissions. So you have to kind of weigh that. I think the other thing that you need to weigh, and this is often overlooked, and this is something that Shopify is actively trying to attack, is Amazon already has, chances are, your visitors' credit card information. So if you send them to Amazon, the conversion rate that you're going to get because of the fast shipping, the fact that they probably already have the credit card information of your visitor, and probably one-click buy is already turned on, that conversion rate is going to be as high as you could possibly imagine. There's no one on the internet that's going to have a better general conversion rate than Amazon because of the level of service they provide with shipping, the brand recognition, the fact that they already have your credit card and they have this one-click buy sort of thing, impulse buy, no fuss, no muss, nothing to do but click the button. If you send someone to B&H and it's their first time buying something from B&H, they're going to have to enter their shipping address, their billing address. They're going to have to enter their credit card information. The credit card may get declined on the first try because they typed in the CVV code incorrectly. You never know what's going to happen there. This is something that Shopify is actually trying to attack specifically with regard to Amazon, because they've unified the back end of Shopify payments so that once you're logged in, you have one universal login for all Shopify stores on the internet. So once you've logged in once with your information on one Shopify store, even if they're completely unrelated, your information can be made available on another Shopify store. So that is Shopify's answer to this. But if it's B&H or Best Buy or Walmart, that may be their first time there. And so there won't be an account created and they've got that extra friction in the buy process. So these are the things that you're going to have to weigh on top of the obvious thing, which is what's the commission rate? A lot of, especially ma and pa shops, offer much bigger commission rates if you are sending traffic directly to their site. Why? Well, because they're not paying for the advertising. Amazon, see, the thing with Amazon, and I think one of the things that is driving this commission cut, let's say that you are buying something on Amazon. Who gets paid? Well, first of all, the person who's selling the product on Amazon, they get paid. And they have to pay wherever the product came from, the manufacturer of the product or the wholesaler, whoever they got it from, And by the way, they had to pay UPS to get the product into Amazon. So all those people are getting paid by your transactions. In addition to that, Amazon is charging the seller a fee for the privilege of selling on Amazon and the fulfillment that that offers. So when they ship the product to the customer and handle it in their warehouse, all of that is being, you have to pay Amazon that fulfillment by Amazon fee. And on top of that, you have to pay Amazon a marketing fee for the fact that they, in many cases, people are buying the product on Amazon because Amazon has spent money marketing the product. So you've got that marketing fee in there as part of that. Well, if it's an affiliate sale, Amazon's also got to pay the affiliate commission out of that. And I think as Amazon comes under increasing pressure from their board of directors to make a bigger profit, that's part of where the pressure to reduce affiliate commissions is coming from. And to some extent, Amazon is gambling that their brand recognition is so high that when people want to buy something, where's the first place they're going to go anyway? And I think there's probably a contingent of people inside of Amazon who are starting to believe that affiliate traffic is not really that important because people are going to type Amazon.com in their browser anyway, every time they want to buy something online. So where does this leave you? So where it leaves you is research the options that are out there for affiliate commissions for the kinds of things that you're interested in selling on, and start with the pages where you have the most traffic if you've got an existing site, and either replace Amazon, or one of the interesting things I've seen proposed is give your readers some choices. Say, hey, you can find this on Amazon, or I really like B&H because they have amazing customer service, for example. You can do those kinds of things and give your readers more choice. That makes your content even more valuable than it was before you had only the Amazon link on there. And that is going to not only help your reader, but it'll also help you as you start to test where the best commissions are coming from. And you'll be able to see, you know, as you split those, what's paying the most, what's converting the best, what kind of ancillary commissions that you're getting. And that's going to vary depending on your niche. So now the question is, if you're about to start a site, what should you do? Is it still viable? Should you still start affiliate marketing sites? Of course, the question is absolutely yes. Look, we've always said that when you are considering the viability of an affiliate marketing niche, you should consider whether or not the thing that you want to promote is profitable. And I've said all along, for example, if the thing that you really think you can sell is a $1 item that makes a nickel commission, then you shouldn't bother promoting that item unless you feel like you can sell a billion of them, right? So I think now that just reduces the pool of items that are on Amazon that you might actually want to promote. Do you want to promote something with a 1% commission? Probably not, unless it's a multi-$1,000 item that you can convert relatively well. On the other hand, if it's a 3% item, let's say it's $300 and you feel like you can get, you know, those commissions reliably, maybe that's worth it for you, especially if you can rank content for that, because once that happens, this is essentially free money. So I think it's still a viable thing to use Amazon. On the other hand, I think what this really means now is it's more important than ever for you as a new affiliate marketer not to be lazy, because that's one of the things about affiliate marketing with Amazon. It's brain dead, simple, lazy stuff. You write the content, you rank it, and then you jam some Amazon affiliate links in there. You don't even hardly have to do any product research because everything in the world is on Amazon. You don't need to go looking for places to find additional commission. And by the way, where can you look? Well, of course, there's Commission Junction, now called CJ.com. There's Share a Sale, and there are tons of independent affiliate programs out there that you can find by typing your product name or your product niche and the word affiliate or affiliate program or partner, those kinds of search phrases. Those are easy to find, and maybe I'll do some additional content on how we can find those programs now that that seems to be even more relevant. But the bottom line is, one of the main impacts of this change with Amazon affiliate commissions is now it's more costly than ever for you to be lazy. So I hope that helps. I don't want you to panic over Amazon affiliate commission cuts if this has impacted you significantly. I hate that, but I want you to take control of your own destiny. Take this opportunity to make your best, most productive content even better, to make it rank even higher, to add options for your buyers with other affiliate programs, and see where that takes you. I think that's the best, strongest, and first way you should combat the cut in Amazon affiliate commissions. Okay, I am looking forward to next week. I'll be back with an amazing interview that I have been waiting a long time to actually get on the air, and it's perfect timing. Matt McWilliams, who's one of the most accomplished affiliate marketers and affiliate program managers. So he works both sides of the affiliate game. He's managed giant launches from people that you've heard of and know and love, and he's an affiliate marketer in his own right. He's going to be on the show next week to talk about affiliate marketing and the kinds of things that you can do in order to make your affiliate marketing business grow. Until next week, I hope you stay safe. Talk to you soon. Ciao.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit LNIMpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then, go and make some great progress on your internet business, one night at a time.
One night at a time.
So I had an amazing experience here today in Dallas. The Blue Angels from the U.S. Navy, this is a U.S. Navy performance air team, they flew over Dallas in formation all around Dallas, and specifically on a flight plan to overfly as many hospitals as possible in tribute to first responders and nurses and doctors and all these people that are fighting COVID-19. Super cool. We were able to go not very far from the house. They almost flew directly over my house, and we were able to get some amazing photographs. My wife, Paula, as many of you know, is an outstanding photographer. We took some awesome shots. It resulted in lamenting for an even bigger lens. We already have some big glass, but we want, now that we're shooting airplanes, we want really big glass. But she got some amazing pictures nonetheless. Those are in the show notes, and you can find them at latenightim.com/202. You'll also find a super cool video there. This is a 1-minute video that we threw together with our experience. It's kind of fun. So I encourage you to check that out again at latenightim.com/202. And of course, if you're a first responder, a medical care provider, if you're, you know, doing anything in support of this effort, I want to thank you, and I really appreciate you helping keep everybody alive. Ciao.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explained to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.